Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Spring is finally upon us. If you spend any amount of time with me, there are a couple things you'll figure out. First, I just detest cold weather. There's no doubt about it. I don't think the snow is beautiful. I don't care for it. I'm always happy when it melts. And finally, when the weather begins to turn and St. Louis goes from 30 degrees to 120, I'm happy. Flip-flops, short shorts, and a tank top, and I'm good to go. But other than that, what it brings for me is comfortable barbecue season. That would be the second thing you would learn about me, is I love barbecue, I love to eat it, but more importantly, I love to cook it. And sooner than later, on my back patio, you'll be able to smell hickory and oak aromas wafting into the air with spices and pork and beef slowly cooking on my cooker. And if you're polite and you're willing to boost my ego and tell me that my barbecue tastes good, I might let you have a plate. But the thing about good barbecue is it takes determination and patience. It takes time, and it's something that can't really be rushed. Not if you really want it to good. Not if you want to take this tough piece of meat that you would normally throw into like broth and cook for hours and hours. If you want it to be tender, you have to be patient. You can't rush it. And so for hours and hours, I'm out there on my back patio watching a fire, because once the meat goes on the grill, you close the lid and you let it go. So maintaining a fire, make sure it burns right. And there's one thing I don't want to hear is, when will the food be done? I can feel the impatience of hangry people at 3 p.m. waiting for dinner. Well, you know, you got another 3 or 4 hours. And the reality is, at 7 p.m., it might not be done. We might not have barbecue today. You might have to wait till tomorrow. You have to have patience for things that are good to come. Something that we try to impress on our 3 young children. Something that I'm still hoping to learn at the age of 37. It's patience. But what's a realistic timeline for waiting for things? Obviously, the context of what you're waiting for will determine that. If you're asking my graduate school professors how long they have to wait for me to turn in a paper, well, sometimes it's on time and sometimes it's a couple days late. It is what it is. Dr. Bierman, I see you in the back. Have mercy upon me. But in leadership, patience is also key. It's all those phrases. Patience is a virtue. And as we engage with our text this morning, I look at Samuel with great admiration, because he is a leader who is demonstrating great patience with the people who he has been called to serve. And so to now, we've heard stories about the Israelite. Samuel, of course, is the bridge between the judges and the kings. And God's people are unruly as they ever are. The ark has been stolen away. It's been returned. And now, after being returned 20 years later, as I was preparing this sermon, out of a lack of wanting to hear it, I kept skipping over that 20 years. Because it took 20 years from the ark returning to Israel from Philistia for the people of God to finally acknowledge Samuel as the leader that he has been called to be for them. And so now Samuel has been raised up as a judge, and now after decades and 20 years of the ark finally being returned out of the disobedience of Israel, they're now turning to him for guidance. They're now wanting to know what they should do, and it only is taking a hopeless scenario. Because the Philistines are knocking on the door again, and they want the Ark of the Covenant back. And now, finally, after 20 years of enduring and being patient, they're finally willing to give up their idols. They're finally willing to turn to Samuel for guidance of what they should do, for God to assist them, for him to relent, and for him to come to their side. I don't know about you, but if it had taken 20 years for me to be recognized as a pastor. I might not be standing in this pulpit. And yet on the other hand, when somebody asks me about recruitment and how things are going into the seminary, I might point to this text. I'm like, well, you know, it took Samuel 20 years to get the ship turned around. So be patient and give me a little bit of time. I'm not saying 20 years, but maybe 19. And yet here is Samuel, patiently waiting for the moment for God's people to see him who he's called to be by God as their judge, as their mediator of the time. And he doesn't make a call to arms. He doesn't say, okay, everybody grab your shield, grab your weapons, follow me out into the battle, and I'm going to slay every Philistine I see. I'm going to lay waste to the battlefield, and I will set you free. Samuel turns to the only one he knows in hopeless situations that can truly deliver. Samuel turns to God in prayer. In this desperate and hopeless situation, after enduring his moment as a leader in true leadership of God's people, Samuel recognizes that in this situation, all he can do is ask. Ask the one person who can, in fact, do something. You see, this text isn't about the patience of Samuel ultimately, even though he demonstrates it for us as a person that we should admire and try to follow after as servants of God. You see, this text is ultimately about the patience of our God, because he has also been patiently waiting for Israel to return to him. To return to him in prayer and devotion, to prepare to him, return to him in sacrifice, and to return to him in guidance and in help and in thanksgiving and in all things to look to him as their God. And as Samuel prays on behalf of Israel, and as they beg him not to relent in his prayer, to unceasingly pray to God to deliver them, God's mercy, his forgiveness, doesn't take 20 years. It doesn't take generations. It's immediate. God's patience with his people to return to him is incomprehensible, because day in and day out, just like the people of Israel, we find some way, we find some idol to turn towards and to turn away from God. And he doesn't relent in his pursuit of us. And when we finally allow him to catch us, and we finally get hopeless and desperate enough to see that the only way out of a hopeless and desperate situation, the only way to be redeemed from our sin, to be rescued from ourselves by turning to God, his forgiveness with us is immediate. His patience with us is enduring. And his forgiveness is swift. What a wonderful God that we have who is patient with us. You know, every day it seems like patience is in high demand and in short supply. I don't know about you, but when the seasons change, as things begin to go from one thing to the next, as workload in school gets higher, as the work and demand of daily life gets higher, as just things change from season to season, my patience seems to get more and more diminished. I seem to be running on fewer and fewer fumes of patience. And it only takes a moment for my child to ask for something reasonable, for me to snap back as a terrible father and do something that's regrettable. But thanks be to God that our Heavenly Father doesn't deal with us the way we deal with each other. Thanks be to God that even in the moments of being the worst human being on earth, our God is still patient with us, and his forgiveness to us is still immediate. As we begin to transfer into a season of Lent, as we begin to hopefully reflect more and more upon God's words, let this story of Samuel, and ultimately let the story of God and his patience towards his people, endure in our hearts, so that as our patience grows less, we're constantly reminded of God's patience towards us in all situations. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.